This is Spin Control, a Fibercraft podcast by A Joyful Girl. Spinning, ton of spinning wheels. Make me some of your magic thread. Hello, everybody. This is Shiloh. Welcome to episode 42, He Is So Worthy. In this week's episode, I've got some crafty goodness, some flea market gallivanting, a little story about why my husband is so worthy, and, as always, we will kick this off with some announcements and some updates. There is not a whole lot going on the update front. The only thing I really have going on is getting ready for Camp Kip. I have to finish the tank top that I would like to wear for that event. I need to find a pattern and sew myself a pair of lounge pants or pajama pants. And I've got to pack and figure out what kind of crafty goodness I will be taking with me. Thank goodness I will have a minivan, so I really won't be short room when it comes to trying to decide what I'm going to take with me. And of course, if the item from the list happens to show up, I will be bringing that with me. And I know, I may have stirred up a little controversy last week by talking about the list but not telling you what it was. Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you this week either. Ha ha! But I don't have any new news on that front. I'm still on the list. Last I heard, I was number 5. And if it happens in time, I will let you know what's going on with that. But with my luck, the item in question will arrive on my doorstep once I am in a foreign land, and I won't even be able to get it out of the box until sometime in 2012. Anyway, on to bigger and better things. We have a donation incentive announcement for the months of March and April. At first, I really had no idea what I was going to offer up for a donation incentive prize. I thought I might just kind of skip it until our first donor for the month of March, that is Knit Admin over on Ravelry, offered up an item to give away. She found herself with an extra copy of the book Spin Control by Amy King, and I believe she and I both agree that there isn't a better way to find that book a new home than to give it to one of our worthy listeners. So, for everyone who donates at least $1 during the months of March and April, we'll receive an entry into the drawing to win that book as donated by our gracious supporter, Knit Admin. Thank you very much. Everybody, round of applause right now. Yay! Thank you, Knit Admin. We really appreciate it. In addition, I have one more announcement. If you will recall, around this time last year, I held a repurpose along, and I have decided that I'm going to do so again this year. And I am doing that repurpose along in conjunction with the Green Stitch podcast and the host, Ann Kinlan. I'll be sure to link to her podcast in the show notes. If you haven't listened to her, go over there and give her a try. She primarily sews, but she definitely has a lot of good information on how you can go green in your everyday crafting. So she and I will be holding a repurpose along from the first day of the spring through Earth Day, and I will have complete details, including what you need to do to enter, some ideas to get you started, and prizes for the repurpose along in next week's episode. So you will have to tune in to get that information. And it looks like that is all I've got in updates and announcements. So I guess it's time to get this podcast started. This week in Spin a Tale, I have a little ditty about how my husband is so worthy of handmade goodness. He is the best handmade gift recipient on the planet, I swear. And he's proved that to me over the past 2 weeks, and I think it's absolutely awesome. So first, for Christmas, I made my husband a shirt that said, it was just a plain black security t-shirt, said security across the front, and on the back, it said wool security. And every year, one of the gifts that we give to one another is just, you know, a new set of pajamas or loungers, you know, to hang out in the house on Christmas morning. And that's what I gave him. I gave him this black t-shirt that said security on one side and wool security on the other, and a color coordinated pair of lounge pants. I thought that he would wear it once or twice, you know, out of obligation to me because he loves me. But I actually caught him out in the wild wearing the t-shirt not covered. How is that for awesome? Fantastic. And it gets better. This past week, my husband had finals at school, and he was getting ready to leave the house the morning of his first final. He said, okay, I think I've got everything. I'm wearing my lucky t-shirt, my lucky sweater, and my lucky socks. And all three of those things are handmade goods from me. And he wore them for good luck during finals week. Both Tuesday and Thursday of this past week, he wore the exact same thing so that he could have that luck for his finals. And either he studies really well and has a great memory, or the luck wore off because he passed both his finals with no issues. And that, my friends, is just one more reason why my husband is so wonderful and absolutely 100% a worthy recipient of handmade goods. This week in Spinning My Wheels, stuff is going to sound really, really, really familiar to how it sounded last week, including I have made the exact same progress on the Cam Kip tank top as I had made the week before. That doesn't mean I didn't do anything on it. That means when it came time to transition into the next step and I started counting stitches, I have no idea what I did, but really, I determined that the best way to actually fix this was to rip back the 5 inches that I had knit and start again. So I literally have knit exactly the same amount in the past week as I did the week before because I had to re-knit all of it. And that totally stinks. But it's coming along, and maybe if the fates line up, I'll actually get this tank top done in time to wear it to Camp Kip. Wouldn't that be fantastic? This is starting to feel a lot like Maryland Sheep and Wool. Like I'm going to be chugging away on this and only this until the very last minute. Thankfully, I have quite a bit of time this week for crafting, so things should get done, hopefully. And every time I'm working on the tank top, the 13-year-old keeps asking me if her sweater is done yet, and I'm like, kid, I'm sorry, I have to prioritize, and I have like a lifetime to get your sweater done, and I've only got, what, 20-some days to get the Camp Kip tank top done? So she's pestering me, and, well, the one thing that's good about her sweater is it is straight stockinette stitch right at this point, and there's no increases, no decreases, none of that good garbage, so I can take that with me as a really good take-along and waiting project, or waiting room project, lunchtime project at work, things like that. It's definitely not something I have to focus a lot on, so it's a really good travel project, and I am working on that every chance I get when I'm out of the house. And that's really all I've gotten done in knitting. There's so many things I want to cast on, but it's just not going to happen until that tank top gets done. And I really need to try to figure out what kind of stuff I'm going to bring with me to camp. Because I have to have knitting projects. I mean, for goodness sake, it's a knitting retreat. I've got to find something to knit on. But I really can't start casting on until I get that tank top done, or I'll be in a world of hurt. And that's just how that goes. So that's really all I've got going on the knitting front. In spinning, I finished the next 5 samples from the Wisteria box, and there was no cussing this time, so things are working out, and I will tell you all about that when I put my spin on those samples later in the episode. And I think that the fleece is finally starting to make me happy. I really did pick up a few things from Abby Frankemont's drafting video, and I've been putting them to use. So I'm going to separate out 1 ounce. I was doing just like little 1/2 ounce or 1/4 ounce singles and then plying them differently to see how I felt about the final result. So I think I'm going to do a full ounce as a 3-ply and see what I think about that. Knit it up. I think I'm going to end up with a lighter weight yarn than I had anticipated, but I like it at least, and it makes me happy, and it's going to take me forever to spin it, but that's okay as long as I'm happy with the final product. So I'm falling in love with my fleece again. And that, of course, is happy news on the spinning front. In sewing, of course, it's like this whole week has just been trudging along on stuff. I finished up all my DPN cases. I absolutely love those. They are so adorable. And I didn't really pick my favorites this time. What I ended up doing was picking the 2 that were the most flawed, and I will keep them for myself. But that's okay. It's just like the top stitching doesn't make me super happy. But I absolutely love the fabric. I have 2 that are made out of these gorgeously colored organic cotton fabrics. I love them. They're beautiful. And I don't care if the top stitching is a little flawed. They are fully functional. And I made them myself. And I like them a lot. And the only other thing that I've got going on in sewing is some sucker sewing. You may have recalled back in the past, I told you that I occasionally do a little bit of chore sewing, which is stuff like putting patches on little girls' uniforms, fixing holes in things my husband has torn, putting buttons on, little things like that. But this is a totally different kind of sewing, sucker sewing. I have to make 25 like side saddle bags. I don't really know how better to describe them, for my daughter's math class. And they're basically a pouch that they're going to use to attach to the front of their desks. And Lord, oh mighty, what a pain in the butt these stupid things are. Like, the material that got donated is this thick, heavy canvas, and it's just not fun to sew. And it's making doing, like, nice, neat, completely closed-in seams really difficult. But I agreed to do them, and I should be able to knock them all out this week so I can get back to fun stuff and make some stuff for me, the selfish crafter that I am. But that's 25 of those I have to make this week. And, like, by the time we figured out what all of her requirements were for the bags, they're not even cute anymore. So you probably won't even get to see pictures of those because I don't like them. But I will get them done because I love my daughter and I will do this thing for her class. Yuck, sucker sewing. I've got to get out of the habit of saying yes to all these things, especially now. I'm coming down to the wire. I've got like 65 days left before I'm out of here and I have to focus my efforts. There's only so much time. And really, as I'm looking through my notes here, that, my friends, is all that I've got going on and spinning my wheels this week. Next week should prove to be a lot more productive. Now let's turn our attention to the next 5 samples from the Wisteria box. So if you recall, I'm going to put my spin on 5 different samples that I received in a Wisteria box that was put together by Spindies. And although they aren't producing Spindies sample boxes anymore, most, if not all, of these independent dyers and fiber producers are still selling their wares online. And I will tell you what I thought of their product, tell you how to find them, and give you my recommendation. So let's flash back to, what, 3 weeks ago when I did the first set. I spun the latest samples exactly the same way as I did the previous. I did a relatively thin single spun on my Turkish spindle. And I really, really prefer spinning these samples that way. Like I've said in the past, I consider it a more intimate way to take my time and really get to know the fiber and the product that I've got in my hands. And I really thoroughly enjoyed all 5 samples this week. Of course, I have my favorite, and that's based on the dye job. Not necessarily the quality of the fiber, but it's definitely a personal preference thing because of the color and the way that the final single looks compared to the others. So let's go through them one by one. Okay, the first sample comes from Natch Woolies. Natch Woolies is an Etsy seller, and she sells naturally colored and naturally dyed wool and fiber fur and hand spun. And the product that I spun was a mix of merino and bamboo. It was a blend of merino and bamboo. And shockingly enough, the bamboo, there was a huge, generous amount of bamboo matched with the merino. It wasn't like completely blended. It was pretty much just kind of laid together in a bat. And because of the way I'm doing these samples, I wasn't going to further process it at all. I would have preferred spinning them really, really well blended as opposed to as 2 separate chunks trying to blend them as I drafted. That made it difficult for me because I don't have a lot of experience spinning with bamboo. However, I couldn't really blend them because I really wanted to spin all the samples the exact same way and put the exact same amount of preparation effort, which was really nothing, so we could get a fair and balanced look at them. I really liked it. It's very, very pretty. And it looks like there's a little bit of Angelina or something tossed in there because there's a sparkle that I was not expecting. That is definitely not just the sheen from the bamboo, which is fine with me. It's a very pretty little white and pale pink blend. And I really, because of the way that there was such a heavy amount of bamboo mixed in with the merino, there are definitely sections that are just bamboo and sections that are just merino. And I can't wait to see how it plies up and how the colors blend because the merino was straight white and the bamboo was pink. So that should prove to be lovely. And I can't wait to ply that because that should be a lot of fun. Next was from Hampton Artist Yarns. Hey, she's got this cute little sheep on her card. It's absolutely adorable. She sells hand-spun yarns, hand-dyed fibers, and embellishments. And she is not an Etsy seller. She has a shop, an independent website, and I'll link to that in the show notes. But from her, I spun some kettle-dyed organic merino. And this stuff was, like, I'd say the dye job. It's just a kettle-dyed, very light lavender. Like, nothing to write home about. She did a fantastic job, but oh, it was so soft and lovely. It was very, very, very wonderful to spin. It was like that soft that barely sets off the senses in your hands. Loved it. I had a really good time spinning that lovely, lofty, wonderful, soft and squishy merino and thoroughly enjoyed that one. Next. I keep saying that. I'm sorry. So my next sample comes from Moonlight and Laughter. And it was some Superwash Blueface Luster in the color Wistful Wisteria. Of course, it's a half an ounce like all the rest. And it spun up lovely. I would say average spin, beautiful dye job on this fiber. And it spun up with zero issues. There were no schlubs. It was wonderful. Came right out of the package and made me super happy. And I enjoyed that. That looks like another kettle dyed product. And it should produce a really, really, really lovely super squishy two-ply. So I'm looking forward to that. Next is some Milk Fiber Mill and Wool Rambouillet Bamboo and Firestar dyed and carded by Moonwood Farms. Moonwood Farms has an Etsy shop, and this one came in the form of a bat, and I'm not really good at spinning from the bat yet, but I'm liking the way that she has all that fiber blended together. Like, I'm really not getting stuck anywhere. There aren't huge clumps of any one kind. It's producing a really pretty mix of luster and flat single, and it's pretty. I like it. I actually only got about halfway through this one, but I'm stripping it off the bat. I know that I'm going to find exactly the same thing throughout the rest of the spin. Now on to my favorite. I know, I'm sorry I have a favorite, but like I said, my partialness to this fiber is based on the color and the dye job, not the quality of the fiber. So it's strictly my personal opinion, and I favor it because I like the color, but the fiber quality was just as good, if not better, than any of the other ones. And this sample comes from Wild Hair Fiber. She has an independent website as well as an Etsy shop, and the sample I spun was a smoothie specialty bat pulled to roving, and it contains merino wool, silk, and angelina. And in the roving, I did not see the angelina until I started spinning it. Like, you just held it there and looked at it, it wasn't just like bling. But as you spun it, it was very subtle, and I really liked the way that the angelina was blended in. I'm not a real sparkly kind of gal, but a little bit of sparkle never hurt anybody. And I think she did a fantastic job blending the angelina so that it wasn't like overpowering or over the top or way too much. But even though it is like a lavender color, the depth of color in this one is my absolute favorite. It goes from a really subtle lavender color to an almost like silvery purple. And I absolutely love the depth of color that came out of this little bat that she pulled to roving. It is beautiful. Her dye job is fantastic. And it spun up with zero issues. And that is my take on my initial spins of all those fibers. And next week, of course, I will go through, ply those all as two plies back on themselves, and I will wash them and set the twist and let you know how they fare in the wash, and if I have any issues, complaints, and I will give you my final opinion of all of these fibers. And as always, I will link to all of these fiber contributors in the show notes, so if you are at all interested, you can check out their shops for yourselves. And that is all I've got, and put my spin on it. This week, I am all spun up about a flea market trip that I went on this past week with my mother-in-law, my husband, and my two kids. We actually went to the little town of Lebanon, Illinois, to go to this Italian restaurant whose pizza had received rave reviews. And while we were there, they have two or three flea markets in the area, and I really learned that I'm not an antique shop kind of gal. I am definitely more of a flea market gal, for sure. So, really what got me so excited about these trips was the cutest stuff that I was able to find for like next to nothing. So right when we walk into the door, it was in a well-lit building with like no real heat or anything, but it was lit. They had electricity and they had multiple vendors inside this building. And right when I walked in, this guy had this gigantic tub of Beanie Babies. And okay, I'm not like a Beanie Baby collector or freak or anything like that, but what I do have is a handful of Beanie Babies in my life that have a special place in my heart. I have two of these full-size roosters sitting on my dresser, and a little tiny rooster. The rooster's name is Strut, by the way. and a little tiny rooster, like the McDonald's edition rooster. And a long, long time ago, like 1997, these three little roosters came to represent my family. Had I known at the time that I was going to have a second child, I would have gotten an additional rooster, but I didn't. So since then, ever since I had my second daughter in 2001, I have been desperately searching for this little McDonald's edition strut beanie baby rooster. And I found one. I walked in, they had another adult rooster and the McDonald's edition mini beanie baby. It's a teeny beanie. And the dude just gave them to me. He's like, oh yeah, I just use that bin and I give that stuff away to kids as, you know, to keep them quiet while their parents look at stuff. Like, you're kidding me. So what he would have normally charged some kid like a quarter for, he gave me two beanie babies for free and it made me super happy. In addition to that, I found a Great Muppet Caper McDonald's Muppet Cup that was made in 1986, I think, or 1981. Maybe it was 1981. I can't remember, but the guy sold that to me for like a dollar. It was awesome. We're going to add it to the bar collection. And it just was a little flashback to my youth that made me so super happy. So I had a fantastic time at the flea markets this past weekend, and I might have to make a couple more trips in my near future. And that is what's got me all spun up this week. Flea market extravaganza. All right, and now it is on to pre-flight checks. I had one listener recommend that maybe I call the segment pre-drafting, but I don't know if I can actually think of names like as I progress through, like once I hit training and once I actually get in country with boots on the ground, what would I call it in the spinning process to like keep that series going? So I'm still mulling that over. I haven't put it out of my mind, but for now I'm still going to stick with pre-flight checks. So, crafting. I'm not doing anything new so far to get ready. I think I'm going to have to get through Camp Kip before I can start preparing my crafting life to be taken overseas. I think I've already gotten some major projects in mind for while I'm gone. One, we talked about the hand piecing the quilt. I just have to decide whether or not I'm going to do like a postage stamp quilt out of scraps that I've got laying around here or what I want to do. I think that's the way I'm going to go. But really, the only thing I'm doing right now to get ready is I'm about to dive in to my annual spring clean. We've got the repurpose along coming along, so it kind of lines up, but my husband has this entire week off of school in between his terms, and so I decided to take the week off of work to spend time with him and to just go through my entire house and get rid of stuff that we don't use anymore. I mean, there's no better time. He and I hardly ever have time without the kids home alone where we can, you know, go through the file cabinet and, you know, shred things that we no longer need and go through the garage and see if there's anything we've got stored out there that we no longer have a use for. And that is what I'm going to be doing this week. And I have like military gear all over the garage and I need to gather that together and see what I've got, see what I'm lacking, see where I stand in terms of that. And really, I'm going to have to dig it out to even get back to it. So that's kind of all I've got going on in my pre-flight checks, is really doing a thorough spring clean in the house in this next week to get myself ready just to go through everything and take an inventory of what I'm going to have on my plate to get done before I go. And that's really all there is to it. And I wanted to remind everybody, there's still a thread over on the Ravelry boards where you can go ahead and ask questions if you have them. And we'll start discussions and we can talk about whatever you want over there about when it comes to my little trip that I've got ahead of me. I'm open to anything, and you can always send me private messages. I've got quite a few of those, and I really appreciate them, and it's going great. So, thanks to everybody for their support, and we will keep this going. Well, it looks like it is time to spin off this episode of Spin Control. I talked quite a bit longer than I thought I would in a couple of those segments. I'm really sorry if I ran a little long. I don't know. We'll have to see how it all comes out in editing. But before I go, I would like to say thank you to everybody who's contacted me in the past week. And thank you, of course, to Hover So for the lovely review that you gave me over there on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Last week I misspoke. I think I have 52 star ratings and 28 reviews, which is awesome. And it makes me super happy. Thank you guys so much for all of your support and for tuning in every week to hear what I've got to say. This week's song is Afternoon at the Cave by Max Carmichael, And as always, you can check the show notes and get all the details about this episode at spincontrolpodcast.com. You can email me at ajoyfulgirlknits@gmail.com. Catch me on Ravelry as a joyful girl, or follow me on Twitter as a joyful girl maid. Thanks again, guys. I will talk to you soon.